Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Hello and Merry Christmas. In just a few minutes, we'll be playing the conclusion to the preaching of Anthony Mangan on the topic of building a bigger altar. But first, we have time for some Christmas music. From their project entitled Hope for All the World, this is Phillips, Craig, and Dean singing, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem.
In case you've just joined us, you're listening to The Voice of Truth. I'm your host, Pastor Doug Joseph. We have time for one more Christmas song before we play the conclusion of Anthony Mangan's preaching on building a bigger altar. From their project entitled Repeat the Sounding Joy, this is a worship medley by Phillips, Craig, and Dean.
Consuming fire and sweet So come and bow down. Bow down before the Lord who worship Him.
Oh, bow,
oh, worship Him.
Bow.
Bow down before our God
who enters.
Shall bow before His throne, the Lord. Every knee shall bow before His throne. The One who was and is to come, the Lamb of God, the Holy One. Glorify, glorify the Lord. Glorify, glorify the Lord. Every knee shall bow before His throne. Every knee shall bow down. Every knee shall bow before His throne. Lord, the One who was and is to come, the Lamb of God, the Holy One. Glorify, glorify the Lord. Oh, yeah. Glorify, glorify the Lord. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All the earth bows down. All the earth sings praise to You. All the earth bows down and sings praise to Your name. Praise to Your name, Lord. Praise to Your name, Lord. All the earth bows down and sings praise to Your name. All the earth bows down. All the earth sings praise to You. All the earth bows down and sings praise to Your name. Praise to Your name, Lord. Praise to Your name, Lord. All the earth bows down and sings praise to Your name. All the earth bows down. All the earth sings praise to You. All the earth bows down and sings praise to Your name. Praise to Your name, Lord. Praise to Your name, Lord. All the earth bows down and sings praise to Your name.
Some time ago, the United Pentecostal Church International, the fellowship with which I'm ordained, gathered for its annual general conference, and it was one of the most anointed gatherings in my memory. On the opening night, we heard preaching by Anthony Mangan, a personal hero of mine. When I was just a teenager, God used his preaching to spare me from death. I was suffering from a terrible depression after the suicide of my father, and the preaching of Anthony Mangan brought light and rescue to my life. Join us now as we air part three.
And they kept on preaching, we can have revival. You can talk in tongues and have interpretation. You can have the fivefold ministry at work in your church. You can have it. And now here I stand. I don't know of a district superintendent standing up here that doesn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, doesn't believe in a move of God, doesn't believe in God touching us. Let me tell you, that's what God's ready to give the United Pentecostal Church, is a revival of the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. Men, thank you for standing with me, but y'all been working all day. Y'all sit down. Man, you're great men. Thank you for standing with me. But I'll never forget, and I'm not on any of your district, and I'm not going to tell you which district it was, but I was 12 years old. My dad was preaching a camp meeting. My mother was yanking on an accordion. I was sitting there watching my mother sing. She was pulling that thing, and in that district, they began to shout, and the sawdust began to fly, and my dad walked to that pulpit and left his Bible there. He began to move in the Holy Ghost, and they started laying hands on the sick, and people started getting healed. When it was over, they called a district board meeting, and they called my dad in, and they said, we got something to say to you. He said, what's wrong? Said, you didn't preach tonight. And where we have camp meeting, we preach every night. Dad said, I'm so sorry. I'll try to preach two sermons tomorrow night. You let me tell you something. I love preaching. There's nothing like preaching. You've got to be saved by preaching. But I'm going to tell you, we can't just be letter. We got to have the Spirit of God operating in our churches. You may be seated. Younger guys, listen to me. Men, I'm not nearly about trying to say anything to you. Y'all are who I'm submitted to. But you younger guys, listen to me. I think you ought to try to get your doctorates. I think you ought to have your master's. I thank God for education, because in education is power. I thank God for Urshan Theological Seminary. I thank God for everything that everybody is learning. But you let me tell you something. Knowledge is not going to bring an apostolic revival. And I don't care how much knowledge you get, it is powerful, and I thank God for it. But if you've got knowledge without an altar, you don't have anything. This same man that I said crawled up on an altar and was crucified daily, Paul, who died daily. Let me tell you what Paul said in the Athens. That's where he went and thought he could philosophize. Well, let's get together. I'm degreed. I got all my degrees. So he sits down at Athens and he talks with them at Athens. Let me ask you a question. Why don't you find how many letters Paul wrote back to Athens? Why don't you find how many churches Paul established at Athens? When you get through with Athens, there's no church there. There's no letter written there. But you leave Athens and go to Corinth, where he said, I don't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I come to you in the demonstration and the power of the Holy Ghost. He left a church of 50,000 people, and he had to write two letters to them, because he said, no, I'm not coming to you with my philosophy. I'm not coming to you with what I learned. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Guys, I'm telling you, you younger men, hear me if I have anything to say to you. You better get an operation of the Spirit. I speak humbly to the men that I stand before tonight. If you'll ask my superintendent, I am submitted. I am submitted to our district board, my superintendent, my bishop, and I'm submitted to this general board. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter if you're an official. It doesn't matter if this body has elected you. It doesn't matter if your name is pastor or evangelist or teacher or saint or whoever. We better experience the sound of the depths of mighty waters. We better get that river that's flowing out from under that altar. It better become a conduit of a river that touches every district, where every district superintendent declares, I am tired of dead churches. I am tired of our churches not growing. I am tired of our districts not growing. It ought to be where Brother Bernard says, I am going to keep speaking. I am going to declare it every time I can. It ought to be where we pastors, we don't go to a church service unless they understand empty baptistries are running us nuts. Empty altars run me nuts. And I'm not going to stop until we've got that river of the Holy Ghost flowing in our congregation. I am not going to stop. Ezekiel 47, and I'm just about done, but Ezekiel 47 and 6, he said, Son of Man, Anthony Mangan, Bishop Bernard, Secretary Jones, Son of Man, hast, General Board, hast thou seen? In other words, he wasn't asking anybody else. He said, have you seen that river that is flowing out from under that altar? Do you know what it is doing? Do you know what can experience? Have you experienced this? Or have you only seen it and heard about it, but you just say, I believe it. I have come to this congregation tonight to tell you it is not just okay to say, I believe in end time revival. It's not just okay to say, I believe end time revival is coming. It's not okay to say we can double in a decade. It's not okay to just say, I believe we're going to have revival. It is imperative that everybody in this room build them a new altar. And we just don't believe it, but we get in that water and we start swimming. And everybody from the general board to the back row has that apostolic revival. God told Ezekiel, he said, get into it. I stand here to tell my Lord. I stand here to tell my family who knows on June the 17th, 2010, my whole life changed. I stand here to tell my great leaders. I stand here to tell this movement and all who are under the sound of my voice in this auditorium and those who have joined us by way of the web. I'm going to be in that number. I plan on being in that revival that cries, worthy is the Lamb. All of you who knew my father, a nonconformist, whose life was a life of prayer and the word and prayer. My dad's whole life was world missions vision. And when he passed, I'll never forget that night. My dad never went into unconsciousness. And about 8 o'clock, when we thought he was leaving, he was just really getting anointed. And he called my mother over. He said, I want to, his little mouth was sideways. He said, I want to pray a blessing on you. He took my mother and he put his hands on her head. And I said, Dad, while you have her, go ahead and cast the devil out and then put the blessing on her. Mother knows I always pick on her. I love her dearly. And I watched him bless my mother. And then he said, come here, Anthony. Come here. That big old hand popped down on my head. Mickey and Gentry and Jeff and Michael and my grandkids. Terry and Melanie. Kendra and Braden, come here. Brother and Sister Tenney, come here. He shook Brother Tenney and he prayed for Sister Tenney. Something happened in my life from another world. I'd stayed with my dad. He was in the hospital 16 days. And when I got home, there was 40. He'd been in 2 days when I got home from overseas. Of the next 14, with the exception of 2 nights, I spent every night with him alone. From Sunday afternoon until he died Wednesday night, Thursday morning, I left that room one time to go to a nurse's station to get water that we couldn't get a nurse to bring at that particular time. Outside of that, I ate in that room. I stayed in that room. Did everything in that room because I was determined to get that man's blessing. About 5 minutes to three on Thursday morning. I was praying. I called the family there. I said, Mother, I think he's leaving. And Dad, I said, Dad, it's pretty, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. So you're seeing things wonderful, aren't you, Dad? Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful. You're seeing beautiful things happen, aren't you, Dad? Yeah. I said, Mother, he's getting ready to go. He turned to me. He said, No, I'm not. Wipe my nose. That man that prayed, said, I told the family, I said, sit down, he'll be preaching it because of the times. That man, Brother Bernard, that prayed the tabernacle for every year of my life, Jerry, that I remember, that when he walked out of our house, there was a glow upon that man. He walked by a different pace. He walked by a different drumbeat. A lot of us didn't understand him in his early years. And I don't think I've already seen a person leave. And the last time my daddy preached at a general conference, one third got up and walked out on him because he told them, if you don't believe in revival, go sell shoes. He was quite the fella. But he built his life around a very big altar. And all of a sudden, Gentry felt led to stay there. My brother-in-law is a nurse practitioner. And Gentry said, Pa! He looked at my dad. And I jumped up because I saw the look on Gentry's face. And I turned and I looked at my dad. And my dad put a big smile on his face. And he caught my eye. And he shook his head. And when he did, he breathed his last breath. And from that moment, there was something happening in my life that I said, I may not be a great preacher. I may not ever be anything great as far as man is concerned. But there's one thing I will do the rest of my life. I will pray the tabernacle every morning before I leave my house. I will build the biggest altar in my life that I have ever built. Because I saw what built Alexandria. I saw what made Dad the man that he was. Dad, you had it figured out. We all wanted the ark, but you wanted the altar. Because, Dad, you knew that that altar was 10 times bigger than that ark. And, Dad, you knew the bigger the altar, the bigger the ark. And you knew God had called you to an altar. And, Dad, while I was wanting the ark, while I was wanting the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, you were sacrificing. You were fasting 3 days a week. You were praying no less than 4 or 5 hours a day. Dad, you knew the power of an altar because, Dad, you knew everything flowed out from that altar. You knew revival flowed out from that altar. You knew it, Dad. And you taught me those things, Dad. And I didn't catch it, Daddy. I was with you, Dad, for all those years, but I didn't catch it until June the 17th, 2010. But I've understood it. Now, Dad, in those last 3 years that you and I became so close, I understand that statement you made to me of, Anthony, I'm snatching souls out of hell so that I can populate heaven. Now, Dad, I understand why you said, I've been preaching for more than 70 years, and my perspective as a New Testament God Paul preacher is the same as the apostles and prophets. I do not believe it's God's plan. My daddy told me this. Anthony, I know it says broad is the way, and many there be that enter in. But some of the last words Dad spoke to me before he had his stroke, he said, I do not believe it's God's plan to allow hell to be bigger than heaven. And he said, many, and Anthony, many broad road. I plan on trying to intercept them, and I plan on trying to turn around every man and woman that I come in contact with, and I plan on trying to change their destination from hell to heaven, and I'm going to do it through an altar. And I look at this great organization that I'm a part of tonight, and I'm going to tell you, there is one of our great leaders that served us for many years. I talked to them before I left my room tonight. I talked to his family and his daughter. And Brother Haney only has days to live unless God undertakes. But could it be possible that somebody could build a big enough altar? Could it be possible that we could build a big enough altar that a Jeff Mowry or a Steve Willoughby, that I talked to him last week and that tumor burst open in his stomach. And he said, it's been horrible, Anthony, but yet he was able to go to church Sunday. Could it be possible between now and maybe Kenneth Haney's last day, or now and Steve Willoughby's last days, that there is some preacher that could say, I'm not satisfied with just preaching a message. I'm going to build myself an altar where that an apostolic ministry can flow, and that the gifts of the Spirit can operate, and that the gift of the anointing can operate in my life. Tonight, I am calling the United Pentecostal Church to an altar call. It's not for sinners, it's for apostolic ministry. I am calling for bigger altars so that we can have bigger arcs. I am calling this organization to rebuild your altar, rebuild your days of prayer and fasting, rebuild your lives. I am calling this organization to an altar call. Let there be a river that will flow out of this convention. Let there be a river. Come on out of the balcony. Come on out of the back risers. Come on, let's go to our face. Come on, let's don't be satisfied. We've been depressed long enough. Build an altar. Go ahead and build an altar. Go ahead and build an altar. We have apostolic, that the gifts of the Spirit, that the gift of healing, that the gift of faith. We build an altar. Flowing out of under that altar is going to be that river that's going to heal our marriages. It's going to heal our children. It's going to heal our families. It's going to be healing flowing. Before God, as we build bigger altars, we build bigger altars, we build bigger altars.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.